All right, let's get rolling, guys. Welcome on Thursday. What is it, January 13th, 14th?
13th.
January 13th. How are you guys feeling tonight?
How are you talking about? I thought you were talking about the phone short.
We're good.
Jared's good, yeah.
We're good.
Ethan's in the back, ready to sleep.
Yeah.
Brandon looks happy. I'm excited. Colton made it in. Jay's good. Who won out of you and Xavier playing a ping pong?
27th, yeah.
What?
Who won the ping pong game? No way. I don't think so. Not
you and Xavier.
Not when she came back. I told
Jay's
you need to.
Shaking his head, probably.
Yeah, that sounds more like it. So, we are getting close to the end of January, or at least we're in the middle of January, so I kind of need to make a plan for youth night. I think we're just going to go ahead and have it here. We annually go ice skating in February. There was a proposition or a request to do it a month early. You guys want to do that on Friday, or you want to wait and do our normal thing, like where we just kind of go after church down to Crown Center? We could do a Crown Center thing here. Well, we can't bring Crown Center here, but we can leave from here to Crown Center and come back. I don't know. How are you guys feeling about a youth night in January with ice skating? Or you just want to wait until February? Not everybody at once, though. Very good. It doesn't even matter, does it? Not really?
No.
Okay. All right. So, Xavier got really wide-eyed with that. He's got plans for it. So, well, we'll figure it out. I know we're missing a lot of people. I know we have a good amount going tonight. But maybe we'll wait till then to try to get like a better idea, like where everybody's at with it and what's happening. Like I said, push come to shove.
Well, Friday.
It's the 27th? Is that the Friday? The
26th? The 27th is Thursday.
It's Thursday? So then the 28th. Friday, January the 28th is what it would be. So yeah. We'll tentatively plan for that. January 28th. We'll have, you know what, we might wait to February, because I think like parents, some people like to come down with us when we do that. So we might just do like we'll probably keep that going, see if people won't want to go down and do that. So plan on February for ice skating. So with that, Pastor Bob was super excited to come up and tell me that our church armorer, you guys know what an armorer is? All right, so I'm like slurring that word. A-R-M-O-R-E-R.
Armorer.
So what'd you say is the drink?
Yeah, supplies with guns.
Supplies with guns, the gun runner here is Jared McClanahan. And I guess he told Bob that he's been working on some new tech for us to try out in these church halls.
Yeah.
So next time we might be able to
not really
try out some of those. Yeah. So I don't think we have enough for everyone yet, but we do have kind of a beta phase. We've got a little development.
Counselors get to try it first, right?
Counselors get to try it first on their kids, exactly.
That's fair.
So have you tried out the mister? Bob said something about you can put water in there and you can like, does that actually work? What is it?
It's like a plume of smoke about that big.
Okay, dude. I was like, he was like all going like you could like fog up the room so they couldn't see you or something like that. Like, I don't know.
No.
I don't know if a gun will produce that much, so. No. Okay. All right. That's all right. I mean, it's, you know what? It's all about selling it to get people to buy it, and then they can be disappointed. But reappoint it when they play. So is appointed opposite of disappointed?
No.
But it sounds good if you just keep going with it.
That's
you just
true.
Keep going with it. So
pretend like it is.
It's good. Brandon's really thinking about it right now. He's trying to figure it out. So
he's just upset that the corner of
What do you guys think about that? It's like you couldn't have moved like 2 more inches.
I know,
this is where I want it. Let's put it right here.
I tried to bend it under, it makes it worse.
Oh, you like trying to like pull it back?
Yeah, it made it worse.
No.
It makes it worse.
I guess it's scissors.
No, you can't cut it.
It looks too janky now?
Yeah.
It looks better.
I think it looks better like that too.
Yeah. Anna, great idea. Bad execution.
Right. You know what?
If
you would have had me and Kenzie hang it like we did all the other things, it might still be up there. Might not. Those walls aren't my walls, so.
What did y'all hang? What did y'all hang?
I don't know. Well, I handed her the supply. She hung it.
Oh, okay. That's not so bad now. Right?
That's better than the other one.
It's still old.
Just iron it out.
I think it's like perfectly.
I'm just really excited that we have a chart.
Yes.
And that the adults don't. Ha 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 ha.
I'm thinking about painting this room a different color too.
That's a great plan.
Black.
Solid black.
Ethan, we're not taking naps up here. Sorry about it.
Yeah. And get a smoke machine. And
yeah, all that good stuff right here. I was actually thinking white for the wall back here.
Well, that's boring.
It is boring.
But then it like blends in with like the.
If you do white, you have to do something.
Okay, well, I was thinking. Okay, so I got this color in here. I was thinking what we're going to do is possibly. So take that color blue.
There's so many colors.
I know, it is. Yeah. I was making you sick a little bit. So take that blue.
Put it on
these balls going back and just like leave this white.
That's so nice.
Yeah, it feels nice.
All the balls don't turn white. And it feels like instant
white and blue.
Oh, Jordan, that's a good idea.
Oh, dude, yes! This whole wall. I can't even focus on you, then I just stay like here in my environment. Just like crying the whole time. So that's the inside joke because Jordan's room has shiplap in it. I just love it. It looks good.
Right.
It looks so like official and everything. Yeah. So I like
it. We do fake
shiplap. Dude, I'm for anything that's cheap. I'm for anything that's cheap, honestly. I don't know. We'll figure something out. I know for one thing for sure, I can't do it all by myself again. That was horrible. It took me like 12 hours to do that room.
You hung that up.
12 hours of hanging it. No, so, I mean, I told some of you guys that what happened. Like, Jan Hill was super excited about just, like, coming up here and decorating that room and everything. And I was like, you know what? If that's her thing, go in there and have it done. So she did. She got some really good decorations. She had everything that she needed except for a painter. And she wanted to have it done in time before, like, Sunday and everything. I was like, well, I guess that falls on me. And I was like, well, how hard could it be? You know, you're throwing some paint on the walls or anything like that.
Is she doing a presentation there? Or
no, just for her own consolation and good feeling and everything. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, how hard could that be? I was thinking, honestly, I'm not even gonna lie. I was thinking maybe 2 or 3 hours, you know, tops. 12 hours later. So
Kenzie and I got you. We painted a lot of houses.
It was just have like a council party. We should have a council party. Just all the councils go up here. We're just all going to get a good roller.
Give all the kids a toothbrush.
Well, the problem is it's the cutting in, dude. Like, cutting in like that long is ridiculous, dude. So, and I didn't do it. Like, I didn't know. I didn't tape anything at first. I just started cutting in with a brush. I was like, oh, my God. I'm terrible at this. So I have to go slow to like.
I'd rather shampoo the carpets than paint.
Do they need shampoo?
Oh,
no, yes.
I think I'd rather paint.
No, but they have been shampooed, so this is what it is.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I can see some, like...
Hey,
it's perfect. Yeah, look at that. I didn't even notice it until you brought it up, Anna. Dang it, now. And I'm going to be...
I wasn't meaning these. Okay. I just meant in general I'd rather shampoo.
Now I'm going to be covetous.
Because shampooing carpet's no fun.
This doesn't even seem like it's candy shampoo. It seems too flat. Or too dry, or whatever.
Do that again.
No, I don't.
You shampoo the carpets here?
No.
That was you and your dad.
That was my mom and my dad. Damn. I was at work.
Oh my goodness.
She's like, please book me for this day.
Yeah, for real, dude.
You got new shoes?
Dude, yeah, you like these?
Yeah.
These are from Cole. I'm taking them off the keys.
Yeah.
They're from Christmas, actually. Some Christmas tinnies. They're kind of like just the old school 70s. Mm-hmm. I kind of like that, man. Just simple.
It's got a retro look.
It does have a retro look. So they're comfortable. Yeah, that's about it. I got nothing else. You guys want to share anything? I feel like I've been talking a lot. Ethan's already getting into that sleep mode. I'm going to preach so hard to you tonight, dude.
I think you should take that back row out.
I think so, too. We should just put the back row, like, curving around the front.
Never.
That's weird.
It's funny.
You're
one of the boys. The boys always flock to the back. I'm just going to preach from back here tonight. You know, she seems to sit right here. Dude, I had these shoes before. They were very comfortable.
I got some a while ago because you had them.
Is that what it was? Yeah. That's hard.
You gotta put the back row in front, behind the preacher, so you get the old boys.
Okay,
you know?
There you go. Yeah. You got like the pastors and the deacons back there. Very good. How's it going, Cole?
Very good.
What's happening?
What are
we're
you
off
doing
the rails here.
It happened. Cut wood right now.
You cut wood. You can't cut the grass. You just keep going up. Yeah. Just cut the wood. After that, cut the clouds. And then, no, that's good stuff, dude. This is good back. It is. That's why this is good. I think that's it, guys. So nobody's got nothing to share? Sure. You guys are like very docile.
Nice.
Thank you, Macy. What's up?
I got a B plus on my Algebra 1 final.
That's low for you,
my well, yeah, but my semester grade is a 97 in that.
She didn't want to get 100%, so she had to get the B plus.
Humility. Humility in action. Thank you for showing that. Very good. Anybody else have any finals, triumph stories, success stories from finals? Go ahead, Lynn.
My lowest grade was a 96.99.
Wow. You're a nerd.
Actually, I had this incident in my life for class. I was standing next to this boy, and he was like, "Do you listen to music?" And I was like, "Yeah." I said, "I listen to classical, and I study why." And he's like, "You're a smart person." I'm like, "Sure."
Do you listen to music?
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's ever like, one of them.
Do you like public?
Yeah.
Some of my work.
I'm like,
Jenny has a special. What's going on, babe?
I will be representing the Missouri Department of Revenue.
Oh, you got
at
that.
A career fair.
Oh, Lord. All right. That is awesome.
Wow.
No, I mean, like that was so it was so awesome. I couldn't find the right word, so it's like just leave the right word out there and just be quiet. You know what? Like they say. Blessed is the man whom, having nothing to say, refuses to demonstrate it with words. So I had to shut my mouth right after that.
Hey, yeah, that's the man now.
That's right, boy. That's right. So,
Pretty good next to
the match. Oh, absolutely, dude. It's a Ephesians 7 or something like that.
Ephesians.
Our first time ever doing that
more like. We say D.O.R., but I didn't feel like my audience here.
It sounds better if you say Department of
Revenue. D.O.R. D.O.R. Yeah, D.O.R. sounds like, sounds like a government hit team or something like that. They don't arrival. They don't, I don't know. Yeah, that's pretty much. That's good. Uh-oh. I lost my song list. There it is. All right. What time is it? Who's got the time in here? 7:25. All right, we're going to do something a little different tonight, guys. And I don't know if we're going to do this often or not, but I think it is a good thing to do. You know, oftentimes we've gotten started like with class and church and stuff like that. You know, we're always praying and trying to get our hearts and minds and attention turned back to God. And one of the best ways to do that is to just like stop and pray. It's been cool. I wanted to hear what you guys were doing, kind of like break the ice or whatever that took. But I think for the next 5 minutes, what I want to do, and like I said, this might be a little weird, might be a little different. It's actually one of the coolest things I've ever been a part of. Back when we went to New York with the church, we were visiting up there, and before service started on Sunday, I was just kind of walking around, like checking their place out and just trying to see what was happening there. And Joel Silvestri came up and grabbed me. He was like, "Hey, you want to go pray?" I was like, "Oh yeah, man, sure." I'm thinking, okay, this be cool. I'll just go kind of hang out with this guy and pray. But no, we went downstairs to like their fellowship hall area. It was like 30 or 40 men down there, and they're just all praying. It was like just out loud, everyone just lifting their hearts up to God. But the atmosphere in there was so awesome. I'm not saying we're gonna, recreate that or nothing like that. But what I did like was just the sound of prayer in the room. Everyone focused on the same thing, and everyone's attention was off themselves, you know. And if there's one place I want to preserve that, you know, in the world where we can, you know, it ought to be here at the church. You know, this is for God. It's not for me. It's not a platform for me to get up here and entertain you guys, make you feel good about yourself, nothing like that. Everything that we do here is all about is bring our attention back to God. You know, we're going to be with Him for eternity. And thank God for that opportunity. You know what I mean? How horrible would it be? Because I know how easy it is for me to focus on my job, focus on what responsibilities and chores I have as a father or as a husband and all these other things like that. And then for the rapture to take place, boom. Oh crap, I mean, this is how it's going to be forever? Like this? I wish I would have like kind of got prepared for that. So, first step, you know, is salvation. Next step, you know, you want to keep that daily fellowship. But right now, let's do that. Let's spend about 5 minutes. If you don't feel comfortable praying out loud, don't do it. I'm going to pray out loud. Hopefully I won't be the only one, but if I am, that's cool. We're going to pray and just, you know, ask the Lord to do something for us tonight. Maybe you got something on your heart that's going to keep the Word of God from getting in there. You got some unconfessed sin. You don't have to like tell anybody your business and stuff like that, but you know, just get right with the Lord right now. And like I said, what you get out of church, what you get out of the Bible, any time that you turn your heart towards the Lord is dependent on how open you are to Him, how much you are looking to get something from Him, everything like that. So, you know, hopefully when you're coming to church, when you're coming to youth group, no matter what you're doing, you're not coming expecting someone to entertain you, but you're coming because you have a friend that you're trying to meet up with. You got a relationship that you're trying to build. You got something that you're trying to accomplish with that person. So we're going to go ahead and do that for about 5 minutes here. And then after that, we'll start singing. And then we'll get into our lesson. There it is.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Lord, for just bringing us here safely, first off, Lord. You didn't have to do that for us. You didn't have to bring us here tonight, Lord. And I just thank you just for your grace and mercy with me. You know, oftentimes when I just look at myself and I see how I feel about, you know, there's so many things in the world where it's a wonder that you even mess around with me and waste time with me. So thank you for just your grace and your mercy, Lord. The abundance of chances that you continue to give me over and over and over again. Father, help me not to be just the main focus of what's going on here tonight. Lord, I pray and ask that you help me to humble myself and put myself out of the way. Father, I've got the Holy Spirit of God inside of me, the strongest, most powerful force that's ever been alive in history. But there's so many things that I'm not doing for you right now because of my own flesh that's in the way. This flesh, Lord, that wants to be in the spotlight. This flesh that wants everybody to look at it. This flesh that wants to act like it's the most important thing in the room. This flesh that wants to take the remnants from you and put it on itself, Lord. But we know what the flesh is. It's all about self, Lord. It's all it is. It's self without that age. Father, if you'll give me the grace tonight, Lord, and just help me, I'll get myself out the way and you'll be able to talk to us. You'll be able to give us something from your word. You'll take this song service and use it for what you intended it for. You use these songs to minister to us, Lord, to get our hearts and minds off of ourselves, off of you, to prepare our hearts like fertile soil for the seed of the word of God. Come down and be planted inside of us and get ourselves out of the way for you to be able to water that thing and spring it up to a fruitful plant. You'll give us the ability to be able to continue to have fruit in old age. It allows people to have fruit right now, Lord. What a horrible thing for you to save us and to give us life and for us not to bring forth fruit in that life that you give. God, there's life in you. You said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. You've taken away my sin so that I can now work for you, so I can get something done for you. And I thank you for that opportunity. I thank you for this ability to be able to come here right now tonight, God. You don't have to use me. You can use anybody. But I thank you for your kindness to me and let me be able to be a part of this ministry. Let me be able to be a part of this church. Lord, just allow me to be saved tonight. Lord, I know that everybody has an opportunity, but I know how dumb I am and how many bad decisions I made. That could have been the worst decision I ever made not to get saved. But Father, you protected me. You gave me grace. You put me in a family that loved you. You put me in a home where my parents took you seriously. And that thing rubbed off on us. We got to see what it is that you wanted us to have in our lives, Lord. We were able to take that same thing seriously with you. And I thank you for that. Lord, I look forward to doing something to pass on that blessing to these kids, Lord. I don't want to keep it for myself. They've got some great starts in here, some great testimonies. I pray and ask that you would just bless those things and further those things for your ministry. Just look forward to what it is you're going to put on our hearts, what you're going to do with us tonight. We love you. We thank you. We pray and ask these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 All right, guys. Go ahead and stand up. Grab your hymnals. Turn to 371. 371. Now, this is kind of popular. I think a lot of country western artists got behind this. I don't know. They choose certain songs that they really smash on or whatnot. This is one of them. Let the lower lights be burning. Tonight, we're going to talk about the crown of rejoicing. And so we're going to sing some songs that have to do with soul winning, reaching out to people, witnessing. Anybody familiar with this song?
Brightly beams our Father's mercies from the lies along the shore. But to us he gives the keeping of the lights along the shore.
And you probably be familiar with this one.
Let the lower lights be burning, send the gleam across the way.
Was that like Willie Nelson or Johnny something or another?
Johnny Cash.
There you go. All right. So if not, you'll pick up on it. Great song. Philip Paul Bliss. Wasn't he the March guy, Jared?
Sousa.
Bliss, what did he write? Is he It As Well? Wait, let me see that. 256. No, that's Horatio. Oh, there he is. Yeah. The tune was Bliss. Okay. So same guy that had an influence on It As Well. This is another one of his good ones. All right, here we go. Let the lower lights be burning. So all night tonight, be thinking about that. We're going to be talking about the crown of rejoicing. It's about the soul winner's crown. So be thinking about someone in your heart and your life that you want to reach out to like that. Here we go, verse 1.
Brightly beams our Father's mercies from His lighthouse evermore. But to us He gives the keeping
I changed the
actual notes up a little bit, the tones themselves in the melody, but the rhythm of it, just to try to make it a little bit easier for you guys. Is that too low?
Yes.
How we go? All right, so Ben says low. Let's bring it up a little bit. Verse 2, dark the night of sin has settled. Here we go.
Dark the night of sin has settled, loud the angry billows roar. Some poor fainting, struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness. Struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save.
We're going to sing verse 3 again. Trim your feeble lamp, my brother. Some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Can someone find their way to Jesus Christ from the light shining in your life? That's what that's about. The storms of life. There's so many people out there in the storms of life right now. Are you a light to them, showing them where the shore is? Verse 3.
Trim your feeble lamp, my brother, some poor sailor, tempest tossed, trying now to make the harbor in the darkness may be lost. Let the Lord light be burning, send a gleam across the way, some poor struggling seamen, you may rescue, you may save.
Turn over here to 334. 334. Take my life. No. Wrong one. Yeah, I know. That's yours. That's your favorite one right there. Dang it. We might have to do it, Drake. All right. Sing Be Thou My Vision while I'm looking for the other one. Here we go.
Be Thou My Vision, O Lord.
Treasure thou art.
Take my life and let it be. Take my life and let it be. All right, verse one. Whoa, how's that go?
Take my life.
Thank you. All right, verse one.
Take my life and let it be.
I am resolved. I am resolved. How are you? Have you made up your mind who you're going to follow? Are you resolved? 389. Here we go.
I am resolved no longer to linger, charmed by the world's delight.
By the Spirit, we'll walk the heavenly way. Amen. Turn to 397.
397. I have decided to follow Jesus. So simple. So good. Here we go. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back.
You know, there's a story behind this song. You guys should look it up sometime. Sorry, and I stole it from you. We're going to keep it going. I'm going to shut my big mouth. But there's a great story behind this. It is so simple. It's not much going on here. But this song came from someone watching someone lose their life. They're in India, and it was against the law to worship Jesus Christ over there. And I forget a lot of the backstory to this thing, but this guy was sitting there, and they were trying to get him to stop following Christ. And they brought him and his family out in front of everyone in the public. And they put him down on their knees. They said, will you stop following Jesus? Will you quit? Will you give up? And the guy said, I will not. I have decided to follow him. You know what they did? They killed his wife. So there she is lying dead on the ground. And they said, will you give up? He said, no turning back. They killed his kids. They gave him one more chance. Will you give up? Will you quit? Though none go with me, yet I will follow. And he lost his life. That's the story behind this song you're singing. Where are you at today with that? What can the world throw your way? How easy is it for them to get you off of your course for Jesus Christ? We just talked about I've been resolved, all right? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Here we go. Let's do verse 1 again.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided.
Rescue the perishing.
In a minute, we'll talk this one. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Here we go, verse 1.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only believe. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, killings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a love
shaken by kindness. Cords that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duly demands it.
Strength for thy
labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently wend them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Let's do one more. I forgot to write this one down. It is 368. This is a favorite of several of you. Heard this a lot. It's a good one to be favored. When we leave here tonight, just ask yourself that, you know. I'm not trying to be like Zach. I'm not trying to be like Bob. I'm not trying to be like Anna, Jenny, Jared, Drake, Kenzie. I'm not trying to be like anybody else. Have I given my all for Jesus Christ? You know, when God made you, you're like a special, special creation. You're a special tool. He made you individually. He made you uniquely. And there's a reason he made you, because you're a special tool in his plan. I don't need my hammer to act like my screwdriver and be contentious of it. All right. There's a reason God made you the way he made you. But you only fulfill his purpose if you're doing your best for him. All right. Are you becoming everything that God wants you to be? Have I done my best for Jesus? Here we go.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, who died upon the cruel tree? To think of his great sacrifice at Calvary, I know my Lord expects the best from me. How many are the lost that I have lifted? Have I done my best for Jesus, when he has done so much for me? The hours I have wasted are so many. The hours I've spent for Christ so few. Because of all my lack of love for Jesus, I wonder if his heart is breaking too. How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free? I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus, when he has done so much for me?
I wonder, have I cared enough?
I wonder, have I cared enough for others? Or have I let them die alone? I might have helped the wanderer to the Savior. The seed of precious life I might have known. How many are the lost? Have I done
chorus one more time.
How many are the lost that I have lifted? How many are the chained I've helped to free?
Lord, help. Amen.
I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When he has done so much for me.
Amen. Go ahead and sit down, guys. Heavenly Father, please help us now. Or give me the spirit of clarity and wisdom just to get this point across. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have Ethan. You got your Bible with you?
Yep.
I need you at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 through 20. And let's just have you girls up front. Let's have Mace and Kins. Macy, do Zechariah 9:16. Kinsey, Philippians 4:1. Philippians 4:1. Macy, what did I tell you? Zechariah 9:16. Ethan, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 through 20. The crown of rejoicing. Crown of rejoicing. We're going to talk about probably, this is pathetic, especially for my supposed title, youth pastor, and all this stuff like that, supposed to be a leader in the church. It's probably the thing I'm the worst at. Probably the thing that scares me the most, the thing that I make the most excuses for, the thing that my flesh wants the least to do with. All right, crown of righteousness. That one's pretty easy. I mean, that's like one of those things the Lord just throws out. It's like that, what do they call it? When they give everybody a trophy? I'm like going blank. Yeah, like participation. Yeah, like a participation award, basically. You should be able to get that, okay? Everybody should be able to get that. After that, we talked about the crown of life. I don't know about that one. That one's tough. And I'm working at it, but it's a little bit easier than this one I'm going to talk about tonight because it can be personal. It's just me and my own personal life working against myself. Okay? Blessed is he that endureth temptation, for you shall receive a crown of life. I don't have to talk to nobody. I don't have to worry about, you know, nobody putting myself out there. It's just me and my personal life make things right with God. And if he gives you grace to die for him, endure to the end. Okay? then we talked about the incorruptible crown last time. Talking about the routines in our life, the mundane stuff that we do that leads us towards a goal that God's trying to get us to, all right? But this one, I'm not going to lie, man, this one sucks. Because you got to put yourself out there for it. This shows a person how much you really love yourself. You know, oftentimes as Christians, we feel like we all have a pretty good amount of humility because we, like, know a verse in the Bible, you know, pride comes before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction, and nobody likes to be around an arrogant jerk and stuff like that, all right? So we feel like we have a certain amount of humility. But you get to see how much pride you really have when it comes to the crown of rejoicing. Because what it causes you to do is to put yourself out there for Jesus Christ. And you start to see how much you really do love yourself, how much you feel like you don't have to do that because that's not your responsibility. That's what a pastor's for. Mm-hmm. That's what an evangelist is for. That's what somebody whose spiritual gift is witnessing, that's what they're for, right? But what it really comes down to is, Lord, I'm too good to look like a fool for you. I'm somebody, and you're asking me to give that up to talk about something most people don't even want to hear about, a taboo subject here. I'm horrible at this. Crown of rejoicing, one of the number one things the Lord's convicted me about working on. All right, Ethan, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19 to 20. Go ahead, bud.
For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy.
All right, so it's not a thing. Ye, that's a people. For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? All right, Zechariah 9:16. Go ahead, Mace. What does that say?
And the Lord their God shall save them in that day as the flock of his people, for they shall be as the stones of a crown lifted up as an ensign upon his head.
The flock of his people shall be like stones in a crown. You see that? So it's tying people back into a crown. Those of you that learned about the judgment seat of Christ and discipleship, you learned about gold, silver, and precious stones. Precious stones in the Bible represent people. The foundations of New Jerusalem are named after tribes, people. The breastplate on the high priest was the colors of different stones representing different people groups, tribes of Israel, all right? So there those stones show up. They're tied into us. They're tied into a crown. Philippians 4:1, Kins.
Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved.
My joy and crown are your brethren. They're the other people that have been won to Christ like you. All right? Maybe you didn't win them, but they're going to be a part of that crown. So it's a people thing. So the crown of rejoicing, guys, has to do with people won to Christ. All right? It's about getting saved and getting crowns like that. Our crown is people, and it's at the second coming. It's the soul winner's crown. Now, they call it the crown of rejoicing. Come over here to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And this is why they call it the crown of rejoicing. Maybe it's not something I rejoice about too much. Maybe it's that someone tells me someone got saved, and I'm like, oh, well, that's good, man. That's nice. What's on the next channel? What else happened today? But in heaven, that's a really big deal. All right? To God and to them up there, it means a lot. What did I say? Luke chapter 15?
Yep.
Verse 4. Look at this. Pick it up in verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and after that which is lost, and go after that which is lost until he find it? So Pastor Bob kind of talked about this and laid out the doctrinal application. We're going to look at the inspirational today for this crown. Verse 5. And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. Because what? He found a lost sheep. All right, some of you can already see the picture there. Verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. So if a sheep is a person, it was lost and now it's found. They rejoice over it and they bring it home. Where's your home? Is this world your home? No, we're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue, right? So you see the picture there. They're rejoicing because someone got saved. Verse 7, I say unto you that likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. So God really likes this. He likes to see, even in 2022, when someone receives what he did back in whatever year that was when Jesus was here, 33 AD, okay? That excites him. You mean it's still got power? That's awesome. Yeah, Jesus, another one. Another one just accepted what you did for them 2,000 years after it happened. You don't have books that are that popular anymore, all right? Check it out, verse 8. Either that woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, silver is redemption in the Bible, doth not light a candle and sweep the house, and seek diligently till she find it. She must be poor. I would do it too. Verse 9, and when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So guys, that's the crown of rejoicing. We could close up and, you know, get out of here now and just leave it at that, because that's what it is. But now we're going to talk about why is it that we don't like to witness? Why is it that I don't like to witness? Everything that I wrote down, hopefully it relates to some of you, but this is personal stuff I'm giving you on what has been my biggest issues, okay? And maybe you'll be able to relate to them. Maybe you'll be able to be like, dang, you know what? Maybe it will embarrass you. Like, why is this guy our youth pastor then? All right, praise the Lord. That's what I'm asking myself too. But for whatever reason, I guess God chooses the weak and stupid things to get his job done. So check it out. Why don't we witness? Number one, the first reason, you're not saved. You see, maybe you talked yourself into it because you always hang around Christians and you realize Christians are a group of people that will accept you for who you are. They'll treat you good and they'll make you feel good about yourself. But one of the surest ways to tell if the Holy Spirit of God is inside of you is, do you have a burning, do you have a desire to tell others about it? It's hard to have someone inside of you that you got because you knew what someone else did for you and be in gratitude for that thing and not share it with others. Judgment to the Christ again. You find out who God is, gold, silver. You find out what he did for you. And once you find out who he is, how awesome he was, and how he came down here for a dog like you, and he suffered and died on a cross for you, how can you not open up your mouth and tell others about that, that you know are heading towards that same fate that you're having? It's because you're not saved. This is the time where you have to ask yourself, what the heck is going on? Am I not saved? Why is it that I'm so scared to open up my mouth for Jesus Christ? Why is it that, okay, maybe you don't witness, but do you at least feel bad about not witnessing? You know, there's one thing not to do it. That's another thing to feel fine about it. You know, the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit of God being inside of you, and we have the ability to quench him, to grieve him. So when you're not doing what he wants to do, is there any type of reaction inside of you? If not, you might want to check up on that thing. Okay, so I did. I checked up on it. I was like, no, I know I'm saved. There's nothing else I'm trusting to get me to heaven except for Jesus Christ. So then why am I still not witnessing, okay? There's really only two things, guys. You're either not saved or number two, you're backslidden. You say, but I'm singing loud. I'm making sermons. I'm preaching messages. I'm doing a lot of stuff in the ministry. Yeah, but maybe you got this going on with your backsliddenness. You're just too scared. The Bible says, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So you're backslidden because you're operating in the wrong spirit. You're operating off a spirit of fear and not of power. Understanding the power that Jesus Christ gave up to come down here to die for you. The love when he shed his blood for you. And the sound mind when he gave you his word. You're not operating off of those things at all. Instead, you're operating off of, well, what would they think about me? What about my reputation? Well, what if it doesn't work and I look like a fool? See what I told you guys? It's about pride. You're too good for it. Now, Jesus, God Almighty, coming down here as a man, he's not too good for it. That's what he needs to do. Because I'm worth it. But he's not worth me doing that for him. Maybe you're too spiritual. That's another thing, another excuse I had. You know, you spend all your time in deep studies of the Bible or deep studies of things that are happening in the world or deep conversations with Christian friends. All that time you're wasting doing that. So, hey, that's great. That's edifying for you. But brother, what about the people going to hell? What about the people that are sinking deep? You ever thought about diving down there to rescue them, rescue the perishing, care for the dying? No, instead, you can justify your spirituality by the time you spend in the Bible and reading and stuff like that. But after some point in time, guys, if that stuff's real and you really have the real spirit behind it, you're going to have to go out and do something with it. You're going to have the same heart for people that Jesus Christ had. Maybe you're too selfish because it's just too embarrassing for the self to go through. Or my number one thing, maybe you're just too stupid. Maybe you know all this stuff. Maybe you got all this stuff down. You know you're not too scared. You know you know better than to be too spiritual. You know better than to be too selfish. So what is it? You're just dumb. You're completely casting away the opportunity to give Jesus Christ a crown of rejoicing, to be a part of an awesome thing when you get up to heaven. And instead, you're just going to say, you know what? I'm going to suck at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not getting nothing either way. So what the heck? I might as well enjoy myself while I'm down here. That's stupid. And that's how it's going to feel when you're looking into those dove's eyes that focus on you 24/7, night and day, and want nothing more than to have you come home to him. He's looking forward to you coming home to him. Are you going to go empty-handed? Must I go and empty-handed? You don't want to go up like that. You know, this is what my problem was. What have I got? What is it that Zach Sanders has? And the question is, does God also have it? You know, and I've even been critical of other people. You know, some people witness and they reach out to tons of people, but I would despise them because they did it aggressively. They didn't do it the way that I would do it. You ever seen something like that? You guys ever been walking like down the plaza or something like that? You seen a guy on the street, you know, witnessing or passing out tracts. You're like, oh my gosh, this guy not realize where he is right now type of deal. He's not realizing people don't really care about that. Okay, Zach, well, why not go out there and show him the right way to do it? At least he loves God enough to go make a fool for himself. Where are you at? Just pleasuring yourself. Going out eating. Going out watching movies. Doing whatever you want to do. Letting people go to hell all around you. Acting like there's nothing to be worried about. That's fine. So that was one of those things. You can ridicule others. You can talk about how crude they are. They don't have the talent that you have or the personality, but you're not using yours for God. You know, the trouble with me is that God didn't have what I have. I'll use my personality, my charms, my smarts, my sweet spirit to get folks to like me for me. But then I would forget about all those tools when trying to hand out a tract. I just get frozen. I get shut mouth. I can sit up here and talk for days about stupid stuff and that has nothing to do with anything and entertain people and stuff like that. But all of a sudden, the cat caught my tongue when it comes to telling someone about where they're heading for eternity. Does God have what you've got? You know what? That's what I'm talking about. You are a special tool. God made you a special way with special abilities, with all these great things, because he wants you to take that, not use it for your own glorification, promotion in this world.
but to show people, hey, I can do the same thing you're doing,
but draw you to something so much better. A hope at the end of this. A peace right now to get you through your storms in life. An anchor that will hold you firm.
All in all, listen, here's what it comes down to. If God calls you to do it, guys, listen, he's going to bless it. Let's make it simple. If God called us to do something, if we do it, we're going to get a blessing for it. No matter how you feel about it, no matter what your thoughts are on it, if he told you to do something and you do it, he will bless you for that. And if you don't do it, then you're missing out on the blessings for those that are doing it. You know what? That's what causes a lot of strife and division in Christianity right there. People are doing something that you're not doing. In order to make yourself look better, you got to kind of push them down. All right, we know that. That's how gossip gets started in school. That's how it happens on sports teams. That's how it happens in whatever groups you're in. Someone doesn't want to put in the hard work that somebody else is to get the promotion the right way. And so they throw shade at them. They bring them down by talking bad about them. Question. Did God tell us to witness, yes or no? All right. Let me hear it. Did God tell us to witness, yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Then he'll bless you if you do it. Period. You say, well, what if I don't do it well? He'll bless you for it because you tried. You say, what if nobody ever gets saved? He'll bless you because you're offering up a sweet savor to him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 talks about. You say, what if I get beat up for it? Then you'll get a double blessing because now you're suffering persecution for his sake. You know, that should have been the end of it. There's no need to go into all these complicated methods. If your heart is right and you're doing it based off of what he said, he'll come through for you. That's period, man. But the problem with the devil and man, my flesh, we try to complicate it to take the blessing out of it. Stop thinking about it so much. Just do it. With the time I have left, I'm going to talk to you guys about some things that a soul winner is likened to in the Bible. All right. And it shows the seriousness God puts on this thing. And it also gives us a good picture of what our job is. Okay. The first thing is over here in Proverbs 11:30. And the Bible says over there, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Okay. So if you're righteous, you got Jesus Christ inside of you. You got to be producing life. Jesus Christ was the righteous. He is the righteous, okay? And they going about to establish their own righteousness have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believe it. So the tree of life, that was a tree where if you ate that fruit, you would live forever back in the Garden of Eden. It turned into a man, Jesus Christ. And guess who it is today? It's supposed to be you. You're supposed to produce life. And look at the end of that. Look what it says. And he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls. Let's focus on that word winneth. Guys, soul winning is a game. You see, you say, what does that mean? We shouldn't take it seriously? No, no, no. I mean, you're a competitor in a game. It's a competition going on right now. You say, what are the teams? All right, the devil's got the world and the flesh. The Bible says the world's going to look beautiful. It's going to be very alluring. It's going to be very attractive. There's going to be all kinds of lust out there. And the devil's got your flesh on lock, telling it needs all that stuff. You say, well, who's on the other team? Just you and God. Does God have anybody playing for him? Or are you kind of looking at the scoreboard and like, my God, man, we're not going to make a comeback in this time. I mean, we got the coronavirus going on. We got the whole world going to hell. Boys and girls can't even tell if they're boys and girls anymore. Everyone's trying to be a different sex and all this stuff like that. God, they're running the score up on us. Okay. You're going to join the other team. You're going to keep fighting for them. You're a competitor in a sport of soul. Why do you think he said he that winneth souls? This is going to be a fight. There's going to be a competition to get them. Someone else is going after them. They're not just sitting out there. Your friends, you're supposed to be in a fight for them. You're supposed to be a competition for those people, for their souls. Are you subversively helping the devil out? Has somebody paid you off to help him accomplish his purpose? He that winneth souls is wise. Whose team are you on is the question. So you say, well, Zach, you just said I'm subversive and helping the devil out. Well, what does it look like if I'm winning people to the devil's side? Okay, watch this. It looks like this. Making good grades to get a scholarship. Treating everyone the way you want to be treated. Finding a way to get along with everyone. When people compliment you, telling them thank you.
or downplaying it and complimenting them back. Working hard to make a good, honest life for yourself. Some of you probably wonder, like, these sound like good things. Keep listening. Going to dinner and leaving a tip. Going to church but not talking about it to others outside of church. Reading your Bible at home or in private but not in public. Hoping and praying that your light will shine before others and cause them to ask you, why are you different? Don't forget you're in a game. The problem is this. Never taking a shot. Living a good life without inviting someone to church or telling them about the Lord is like dribbling the ball in a basketball game without ever shooting. Oh man, that looks fancy. That looks good. Look at that boy's handles. Nobody can keep up with him. Look at him. But why is his score still zero? Because he never takes a shot. So you don't mind living a life before people, showing them that you're a good, wholesome person and better and all this stuff like that. But when they ask you, maybe you get shut out. Maybe you're like, well, I just think it's the right thing to do. I feel like if you treat people the right way, that you'll be treated the right way too. Bro, you just act like a humanist. Any atheist would agree with that. They want to live in a utopian society where there's peace, where there's not war, where everyone loves everyone. But why are you doing it? You don't mind dribbling, but you're scared to take a shot. You know, this sounds good, but ultimately it aids the devil. You see, guys, think about this. People don't mind you living your life as long as you keep it to yourself. You're probably too young to remember this, but maybe you can think back. When did homosexuality, pedophilia, and all this other perversive crap that's out there right now become an issue? You know when it was? That stuff had been going around forever. You know when it became a big deal? It's when they decided to come out of the closet. It's when they stopped living to themselves and they said, everyone has to accept us for who we are, allow us to display this in public, and receive us as we are. When they were in the closet, or when they started making a big deal about coming out of the closet, they came out of the closet and God's people started to head back in the closet. You know, you look at the Philadelphian church age and how we're out here on the streets and how we're out here don't hold these open air camp meetings and all this stuff like that. How Christianity, you couldn't open a meeting in Congress without having a preacher get up there and talk to the people and stuff like that. It was so much more overt, out in public, in the face. And it had a huge impact on the world at that time. The Laodicean church period comes in. You know what the church does? We go in the closet. The perverts come out of the closet. Why is it? Because we realize the world would accept us if we shut up. Just don't make us feel bad about ourselves, bro. We don't care how you live. We want everyone to be their own selves. We want everyone to be the individual. I think that's awesome you go to church. Just shut up. Don't tell me about it. Right? When you're outspoken, bold, unapologetic, versus all this stuff about lifestyle evangelism, even the world knows this. You know what? This is the funny thing about it. The world knows who really wins that game. You guys seen this cryptocurrency commercial with Matt Damon? Is that who it is? What does he say at the end of that thing? He's going through all this thing. He's like walking through a museum, showing all these different things. And then you know what he says at the end? After he lists all these great accomplishments in history, you know what he says? He says, fortune favors the bold. And that's what the devil is taking away from you, your boldness. You're too scared to come out there and say anything about it. You're a competitor. You're supposed to be a competitor. Gotta keep going over there. You know, even recently, like we had a couple of guys, probably one of the most natural dudes I've ever seen soul win before is Dylan King. Man, that boy, bless his heart. He put me on fire to get back out there and put myself aside and do it. This guy will do it anywhere. You'd be at the gas station with him just trying to grab gas and leave. He's talking to somebody. You're going in to grab something. He's talking to somebody. You go to the restaurant. You're trying to get up and leave. He's talking to somebody. Kid's been here less a year, maybe. A year. Team year youth pastor here. How's it going, folks? You want to follow me some more? You better not be following me. You better be following Jesus Christ. Boy, you're going to run right into a brick wall. But that's the thing, man. That's the difference. You know, he was down there. We were down there on Westport talking to some guys. And he was talking about how he saw this big dude walk out of this bar. You know, swole looking dude. And he was like, oh my gosh, that's definitely not who the Lord wants me to talk to.
But he's like, you know what? No, I'm gonna hand him a tract. And sure enough, he hands him the tract. That guy ends up getting saved and coming to our church now. Fortune favors the bold. You know how I ended up at this church? I was a little punk kid in college, trying to figure out my life, running into brick walls after brick walls, starting to go through a depression because it seemed like everything that I had put my effort in as a kid to grow up to get there was failing on me now. And so I then cried out to God, Lord, send me a man that can show me how to live for you. Send me a godly man that can show me what you want in my life. And you know how he did it? I was eating breakfast, and I overheard another guy counseling a guy on all the dirty details of his marriage that he was in. Everything a stranger should not be hearing or listening to. So here I am, some punk kid. Here's these grown men. I'm 19 years old, or 18. These grown men over here. Who's 18 in here? Raise your hands. Anybody 18 yet? 17? Okay, it's a couple more years. All right. So, but imagine that. Imagine hearing some adults, 40 years old, sitting there, pouring out their heart. One guy's about to go through a divorce, and all this horrible stuff is happening. The other guy's, you know, giving the Bible. And all of a sudden, you know what happened in my mind? The Lord said, all right, boy, there's your opportunity. What are you going to do with it? Well, Lord, couldn't you give it to me a little different way, you know? I could get shot right now if I go over here talking to these guys. They could completely kick my butt. These are grown men, you know? But at that time, I had to ask myself, how bad do I want it? And thank God, it had to be him, because I know I don't have stout to boldness that much off that very often. So it had to be something the Holy Spirit of God did, but he gave me the courage to get up there through his grace and go ask him, sir, I'm so sorry. I've heard everything you guys have been talking about, but I've been praying that God would send me a godly man to show me how to live for him. Can I please have your number? Turns out that guy that had given all that stuff was impressed by that because he was getting discipled by that guy. And he was like, wow, this is exactly what you're talking about. Having a witness in public and it can affect others. And so it ended up being a great testimony for that guy, but also a great illustration for that discipler. And that's how I ended up here at Old Paths. There was a guy that went here. Fortune favors the bold. Your good life. See, this is the thing we talk about, you know, and I've said this all my life. Partly meaning it, but also partly kind of winking because I know that I'm getting out of something that I don't want to do. Christians ought to always witness and sometimes even use words. Check it out. Your good testimony, your good life, you know what it ought to do, guys? It needs to make them thirsty. Man, I want what Zach has. I want what Anna has. I want what Kenzie has. I want what all you guys have. Your good life, your good testimony should make them thirsty. But at some point in time, you got to tell them where to get a drink. Mm. You know how jacked up it is? You're like a cat that's out there in the desert amongst people that have been out there for 3 days without water. Out there in the Sahara, and here you come with a sprinkler on, just spraying yourself. And they're about to die of thirst. And you just walk through. They don't, you know what? You might as well be a mirage to them. Because you're worthless. Unless you tell them where to get a drink. Are you in the game? Next thing. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. You're likened to an advocate. Proverbs 31, 8 through 9. An advocate. Someone that speaks up for someone else. Okay? Check it out. Open thy mouth for the dumb, in the cause of all such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. The dumb in the Bible are people that can't speak, all right? So their tongue doesn't work, and they call them dumb. They're usually associated with deaf people. You hear the deaf and the dumb. And they usually have the whole trio eventually, the deaf, the dumb, and the blind, okay? But these are people that can't speak up. You know who can't speak to God? Unsaved people. All right, so maybe this one is something you can jump in the game at a little bit more. Are you at least talking to God for the unsaved people in your life? Or are you not even doing that? 1 John 2, 1 through 2 says this, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. So we know how our prayer works. The Holy Spirit of God makes intercession for us with moanings and groanings. And we have Jesus Christ up there on the throne saying, Lord, he's pardoned. Don't forget, he's pardoned. He's got your blood. Yeah, I know he sucks. I know he's all about himself. I know all he thinks about most of the time, day and night, is how it affects him. But God, it's under the blood. He's pardoned. Please, hear him now. What are you doing for unsaved people that don't have that opportunity? They don't have Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit making intercession for them. Are you doing it? God's doing it for you.
Are you doing it for them? Pray for them. Preach to them. You know, the Bible talks about cry aloud for the dumb. Open thy mouth. Judge righteously. We know we'll cry for ourselves and people do us wrong. We'll be very loud about that. But will you do it for others? 2 Corinthians 5:18-21. You know, one of the number one jobs God gave a Christian, what he likens it to, is an ambassador. Check this out. He says this in verse 18 to 21, 2 Corinthians 5. In all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself, how? By Jesus Christ. And hath given to us, he gave us something, but watch, it's a job. And hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation.
To bring people back to God.
That's our job. That's our ministry. How are you doing with that? How are you doing at bringing people back to God? Are you on the job? To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So Jesus Christ came down here and as a man. The word became flesh. All right. Now we've got the written word. And that's our job, to take this book and bring people back to God. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Will you stand in the gap and bring people back to God? All right, next one. We got to move through here. You're also supposed to be a first responder. So you're supposed to be a competitor in a game. You're supposed to win souls.
I'm going to get this out soon.
Sorry. All right, you're supposed to be an advocate. And thirdly, you're supposed to be a first responder. Proverbs 24:10-12. Man, we need to spend some time on here. We just don't got the time to do it. Listen to this. A first responder. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. You know, don't you hate that? You know, that's one of the funny things we talk about. And I remind people, like, even on my team at work, like, dude, the reason why you're a professional and why we hired you is because you're supposed to be able to do the job when things aren't going well. Anybody that's not a professional can do it when they are going well. All right? So I love that thing right there. You as a Christian, if you're hiding when things get bad in the world and trying to protect yourself, you got saved so you wouldn't have to worry about what happens when your life's in danger. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death and those that are ready to be slain. If thou sayest, behold, we knew it not. Doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it? And he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? You see, when everyone else is running to safety and not dealing with the hot button topics, you need to be trained, well-versed, and prayed up enough to handle them. That's why we sung that song, because you're supposed to be a first responder. Rescue the perishing. Don't run from them. Don't avoid them. Don't say, well, I would get involved, I would try to reach out to them, but man, that's just going to make it look bad if that's on my resume or whatever it is. No, guys, the reason God gave you a job was for that. There's limitations we can talk about and all that stuff like that. I think you already know those limitations. We've always talked about them. Tonight, we're talking about taking shots. No more dribbling. Always have a line open. Wouldn't it suck to call 911 and not get a response? Yeah, so Anna said, oh, she's been, that's horrible. Hopefully you didn't really need them. Well, if you call 911, you probably really needed them. See, there it is. Guys, does anybody really need salvation out there amongst us? Is anybody's soul in peril of going to hell forever? Yeah. When they call, maybe they don't say your name because they don't know the number very well. But when they cry out for help because they're going through a divorce, when they cry out for help because their kids are strung out on drugs, when they cry out for help because they're your kids, you see their friends jacking around with stuff they shouldn't be jacking around with that you know is going to end in destruction for them. When they cry out for help, do you answer? Or do you just run up to them and show them how good you can dribble? Look at how good my life is. I'm sorry about yours. Yeah, check me out. Yeah, I'm going to church. Yeah, I read my Bible. See you later, by the way. Rescue the perishing. Are you present in the bad times, or do you only show up when all things are going well? When All their friends leave them, and the only true one that they have left is you. Are you there for them? Did you come prepared to help? Or do you show up without something to say? You know what the Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15? I forgot, so let me turn it over there. 1 Peter 3:15. What's that? Be ready always to have an answer for the hope that's in you. See, you kids that get bored a lot at home because you don't have a social life or something like that, you know what you could be practicing on doing? Going through all the things that scare you to death about people asking you about your salvation, about being a Christian. Go through those hard conversations. Think about what scares you to death that they might ask you. Get an answer ready right now. You need to be going back and forth with yourself, figuring out these things that when you get up there, they're like, oh my gosh, does this dude know everything I'm going to say? Yeah, because I've had these conversations tons of time with myself. Why? Because I'm a first responder and I'm here to rescue you. I've gone through the training. I'm prepared to meet your need. Don't faint. Don't faint when you see crazy things. You might see sin that's just, you know, atrocious. Hey, we're all sinners in God's eyes, man. Don't faint when you see that stuff. Be ready to deal with it. Wouldn't that be horrible if a guy from the ambulance showed up and you start gushing blood and he passes out and he's supposed to be there helping you? Be prepared for it. Understand what sin is. Understand what's really bad. And last thing, be a professional. Now, this is funny because, you know, we're not about professional Christianity and stuff like this, but this is what I mean. You got to understand the setting that you're in. You got to match your setting. Don't be a SWAT team preacher at a baby shower. Okay, and that's what I mean by that. There's certain areas where I'm not going to be as aggressive with my witness as I am in other areas. When I am out there on the street passing out tracts and stuff like that to people that are eating dinner and stuff like that, I'm not like yelling at them ever. I'm complimenting them. Hey, man, I like your shoes, dude. Dude, you're like swole. Look at that. And then you know what they do? They automatically start listening to you because they like that flattery. And then you're like, hey, by the way, here's something that might help you out, man. Oh, what is it? What's about Jesus Christ? Okay, thanks. Compared to, you're going to hell, you're going to burn, get out of here, you sinners. They just turn it off and they start cussing you out and all that stuff like that. See, why is it? Why is it that you looked at somebody else doing it the wrong way, took that as a justification not to do anything at all? Didn't I just say God made you a special way, a special tool? Do it the way he tells you to do it. And do it for his honor and his glory. But sometimes, I'll tell you this, I do come hard like that at certain places. One person in particular, I had to do that, was at the City Union Mission, believe it or not. I took Brady down there with me last time, and this dude, the whole time, Lauren Neihart was up giving his devotion, which is like throwing out F-bombs loud. You mother, blah, 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 you blah, blah. So I was like, and Brady's sitting there just like, Dad, why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? Like, son, it's probably the devil. The devil's trying to stop him from getting the word of God out. I said, start praying. Ask God to shut his mouth, Brady. Ask God to shut his mouth. All right? And so he starts praying that while John's finishing up. Chris gets up, sings some more songs. You know what happened? I didn't even open up my outline because I was like, I'm going to have to go right out here into this crowd and just talk to him. And I did. You know what happened? That guy did absolutely nothing that whole time. It's not because of me. But it was cool. I think God might have done it just to develop some faith in Brady to see, hey, when you pray, I'll come through for you. But then the second thing was, when they saw a preacher come out there and be aggressive with them and not like hide from them and get in their face, they shut up. The Bible says over there in Jude, of some have compassion, making a difference, but others say with fear, as pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Well, we'll have to finish this up next time. Kind of spent too much time on some of those things, but we'll get that done.